Yes, please.
Craig McKee, I'm in Montreal, Canada.
Jeffrey in New York City.
Frank Tlupko, Berkshire 911 Truth, Western Massachusetts.
Welcome back, Frank. Did you get him, Craig?
I got kicked off. Okay, I'm back on.
Glad you made it back on. Did you get him, or Craig?
What was that last name you were talking about?
Frank, you asking about Frank?
Frank, I got, yeah.
Yeah, you got Frank, okay.
Last name, Frank?
Tlupko, T-O-L-O-P-K-O.
Yeah, I got that one, okay. Yeah.
All right, great. All right, then let's look at our agenda here. Our first order of business is always to approve the previous teleconference minutes. Are there any objections to approving them with the correct spelling of Ms. Castillo's last name? Hearing no objections, then we'll accept the minutes as approved. We have a fairly brief agenda tonight, the draft agenda that was sent out. Are there any amendments to the agenda before we proceed?
No.
Hearing none, then we'll use the draft agenda. We'll adopt the draft agenda as our agenda for this evening. Our first item on the agenda is a report by Laura Cattleman on the Operation Tip the Planet, the planned media blitz by the AE 911 troops, and then we'll have a little discussion with her afterwards to get clarifications. So go ahead, Laura. Welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ken, for inviting me, and I apologize for not making it last week. Don't quite know what happened there. I've been quite busy these days, though, working on this Operation Tip the Planet. And for those of you who are not aware of it, it is the first ever global transmedia 9/11 anniversary event. And it's a coalition led by AE 9/11 Truth of like-minded 9/11 Truth organizations, as well as other associated movements such as the Thrive Movement. And it's interesting that you invited me to speak today because we just had a teleconference with Foster and Kimberly Gamble from the Thrive Movement. And if you're not aware of who they are, their movie has gotten 13 million views. They get a million visitors to their website every month. And they've signed on as a supporting organization. They have 703 satellite organizations around the globe that will also be supporting Operation Tip the Planet. And the intention behind Operation Tip the Planet is to educate the public about issues surrounding 9/11. And and we've also found that 9/11 can be an extremely effective doorway into mass awareness of other issues as well. So it's sort of a perfect synergy with the Thrive Movement. And so, again, what our plan is that one message will appear simultaneously in hundreds of cities around the globe in sort of a grassroots to global campaign that will be outdoor media, transit media, and grassroots actions throughout the month of September, beginning on September 1. So it will be bumper stickers, billboards, signs on lawns, T-shirts, roadside signs, signs on freeway overpasses, people bringing signs to sporting events, posters in storefronts, leafleting cars, passing out leaflets, notices on bulletin boards in stores and libraries, notices posted on the internet, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, blogs, and so forth. So that, what will that message be? We are currently engaged in an ad/slogan contest, and those of you who are on the call are certainly willing to, are more than welcome to join in if you have a creative idea about what would look good on a billboard or on a subway ad. The deadline is this Sunday, the 31st, and then we'll all be voting. I think we've got 240 entries so far, and I can share with you, if you're interested, some of the slogans that have been submitted that people seem to like so far. But before we do that, I just want to share a little bit more about how this campaign is going to work. We have about 12 organizations on board right now, including two peace organizations. So we're trying to spread the net pretty wide. This Operation Tip the Planet is also commemorating reaching 2,000 architects and engineers on the AE petition signers. Richard Gage and others will be delivering that petition to Congress on September 11th, as well as delivering copies of the documentary DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out, to every member of Congress around that 9/11 date. Also in the works, we had a phenomenal viewing on PBS Denver of that same documentary, Experts Speak Out. It got over 1 million views. It got more views and it was more widely shared, I think, for a couple weeks there than even Nova and Masterpiece Theater. And so as a result of that success, there are currently 21 PBS stations around the country that are interested in airing Experts Speak Out during the month of September. There's one final vetting on APT that's required. So if we pass that, and that is a little questionable, that documentary will be aired during the month of September. So our vision is a...
What is APT or whatever that thing has to be approved?
Yeah, it certainly stands for something. I'm not sure. American Public Television something, probably. But they are a vetting group that some PBS stations look to before they air something. Some stations, obviously Denver, showed the movie without that kind of vetting. And hopefully some stations, if we don't get the vetting, will show the documentary anyway.
Okay.
So again, the vision for Operation Tip the Planet is that it would be a virtual perfect storm of 9/11 truth activity, all focused on the month of September.
Who are the originator planners? If you don't mind my asking.
I didn't get the question. Can you repeat it?
Right.
Hold on a second. Can we hold the questions until Laura's done with her presentation? We'll do our normal taking of making a stack, and people can ask questions. Okay. Please continue.
Sure. So, all right. So global campaign, hundreds of cities. To coordinate that, we have a platform that's a crowdsourcing platform called Fundly. So we'll be able to, let's say, there's somebody here from Northampton, Scarlett, 9/11 Northampton. You could decide that you want Northampton to have a campaign, an outdoor advertising campaign. You would contact me. I would set up a team page for Northampton that is operated through this Fundly system. And let's say you wanted to raise $1,000 toward a billboard. We in this coalition would then match that money. So we will match $1,000 for any community that wants to participate and buy outdoor advertising or transit advertising around the globe for as long as the money lasts. And we've raised $100,000 at this point, and we've just started fundraising. So we've been at it about a week and a half. So that's a pretty good showing. I think Richard Gavich was saying that that's more money raised with any 9/11 truth effort to date, and we're just getting started. So again, with this crowdsourcing platform, it's pretty new. Fundly's only been around 3 years. Habitat for Humanity uses them. There's one central dashboard, and from that dashboard, you can see what all the different communities around the globe are doing, how much money they're raising, how much support they have, how many people they have in their group, and we can communicate with everybody all at once. So it's pretty exciting. So that's how we're planning on running it. Other actions that we're contemplating for the month of September, a White House petition Since we have AMPAC that is already supporting us, we could conceivably get 100,000 signatures in a day, which has never been done before on the White House petition site. The way that site works is supposedly if you get 100,000 signatures on a petition within 30 days, the White House is compelled to give some sort of a response. So we like that idea for two reasons. One is, you know, we've never gotten a response from the White House. And secondly, if we do succeed in getting all of those signatures all at once, that would be historic. No petition has garnered that level of support in that short of time. But I think we already have the numbers to accomplish that.
The petition would be to do what, Laura?
I'm not involved in the writing of that petition. Ellie from 8911 Truth is going to put something together, but my guess is it's probably asking for an independent investigation with subpoena power, which is consistent with the AE mission. I think that's probably going to look something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's enough for you for right now. Go ahead and ask your
questions. Well, before we get to questions, did you want to give us some of those key proposals that have been made for the ideas for the billboard?
Sure. And again, I'm just going off from memory here. 9/11 changed everything. So will the truth is a favorite on our committee. Another one is just the word SHH and then a URL, like, you know, 911expertspeakout.org. Another one is Got Truth. Another one is The Evidence May Surprise You. Another one is Never Forget, But What If We Never Knew, Never Really Knew. Another one is Take the 9/11 Challenge. And if we went with that one, we'd need to put a quiz or something on the landing page for Operation Tip the Planet. But if you're curious about this, the thing to do is to go onto the AE site, AE911truth.org, and the first article on that homepage is all about Operation Tip the Planet. And in that article are links to our funding page and to the contest. So if you want to see what ads have been submitted, go click there. And you can either submit an ad or you can vote. And I hope that everybody would vote. April 1st is when the voting begins, April 1st to the 5th, and then we'll probably be setting out an action alert. There will be 10 top vote getters that will receive $100 and a T-shirt and an AE mug as prizes, and then probably a week later we'll release the final ad that will hopefully go around the world in the month of September.
All right. Laura, thank you so much for that very comprehensive overview of what sounds like a very promising approach to publicizing 9/11 truth.
Thank you.
A lot of us have comments and questions for Laura, so let's start a stack. Scarlett, was that you that wanted to be on the stack first? I've got your name first. Who else would like to be on the stack?
Frank?
Okay, who else? All right, then I'll put my name next. Go ahead, Scarlett.
Okay, so I haven't come to many of these teleconferences, so I'm not sure of what the process is. But anyway, this is really impressive, and I guess the question, I'm really fascinated and would like to be a part of this. Who started this and why now? You know, why this year? A lot of people here are interested in doing something about, the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination, which is right pretty much in the same ballpark of time, you know, November and September. And so I guess I'm curious, like, who started this? How did this phenomenon start to get legs? And also, why this year coming up?
Really great question, Scarlett. So I'll address the issue of why this year. The polls have been showing that 30 or 36% of Americans doubt the official story about 9/11. So it occurred to all of us that we're probably nearing a tipping point in 9/11 awareness. So we really have a great shot. And plus, with experts speak out coming out and getting such great airing on in Denver and this opportunity in 21 markets, why not just pull out all the stops and really just do this thing and blow the lid off of 9/11? So that's why now. Mike Figa came up with the idea based on an ad campaign, Pamela Geller's ad campaign in New York City subways that went viral. He thought, why not do something in the New York City subway? And then I thought, well, if we're going to do it there, why don't we just expand that and do it everywhere? Why not? You know, there are 9/11 truthers all over the world, and what a punch we could really deliver if we had ads everywhere. And we may not, you know, we're not going to get a 25 share, let's say, in each city, but to be able to post on the internet that we had a billboard in Oslo, you know, and one in Dubuque, to let people know how expansive we are. The other thing I wanted to say that's really exciting, I can't believe I left this out, about the Thrive movement. Foster and Kimberly Gamble were so floored by this Operation Tip the Planet that they're getting behind it in so many different ways. They have what are called critical mass actions on their website that people can say they want to participate in. So we're going to be listed as a critical mass action, and people can sign on and say, yes, I will participate in this. So we'll have a sense of how many people are really going to participate with us in the month of September. So that's one thing, especially given that they've got 1 million people coming to their site every month. That's pretty phenomenal. Foster Gamble is going to write an article, a blog article, that's going to go on the site about Operation Tip the Planet. He's also going to blast out all of our notices to all 703 organizations in their network. And he's going to interview Richard Gage on their new Thrive TV. So phenomenal support coming from Thrive. They've got hundreds of thousands of supporters. And I don't think I mentioned about AMPAC supporting this as well. Nation of Islam, because that can be a controversial group. I don't know that we'll publicize that Nation of Islam is on board, but that's 193,000 people saying, put us to work. We want to help.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. I had one more question. Would that be okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you know who Massimo Mazzucca is? Do you know that name? He's made quite a few 9/11 films, and he's a pretty active and prolific 9/11 truth guy. His name is Massimo Mazzucca, and I'm wondering, this sounds like something that he would really be interested in, and he's really kind of a mover and a shaker too. So if I get involved, you know, maybe I can get sort of taken on to find him as well, because he's, you know, he's a multimedia guy, so I'm sure he'd be very helpful.
That sounds wonderful. We love any and all support, any help.
but he
sounds like he's particularly talented in a way that could help us a lot.
He's really on this. He's definitely all over this. I mean, it's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Can I give out my email address in case people want to contact me after
this
call?
Can you do what?
Can I give out my contact information in case people want to, you know, connect with me after this call?
Is this Laura speaking?
Yes.
Yeah, Laura. Well, we will list your email address if that's okay with you in a minute. Is that all right?
Yeah, please. Yeah, and my phone number as well.
Okay. You want to send that to Craig, or do you want to give it out here?
I can give it out.
It's 401-578-5505. Let me just read that again because my sound's not great here. It's
401-578-5505. That's it. Okay.
And what's the email?
It's L. Cattleman, KATLEMAN, at AE911truth.org.
How about this part again? It's just your name or abbreviation of your name?
Just L for Laura and then Cattleman.
Oh, okay.
C-A-T-L-E-M-A-N.
Yes. Got it.
Okay.
Frank, you're next on the list there.
Yeah, my question was going to be about AMPAC, which you briefly mentioned. I heard from some people that Richard was supposed to speak at their conference, which is on 9/11. Could you amplify on any of that at this point, or is that still in the works?
It definitely is in the works. Richard expects to get an invitation to speak. They're planning on having a million Muslim march in Washington, D.C. on 9/11, and I would expect Richard will be speaking at it. And
I think they changed the name of it from Million Muslim or something to March Against Fear or something. It was what I understand.
Oh, okay. Then you know more than I do.
Okay. Well, that's it. Okay. I thought you might have more information. No big. Fine. I'm sure this will all be fleshed out within the next week's months.
Right. Now, Richard,
what does AMPAC stand for?
American Muslim Political Action Committee. And Richard is, I actually wrote the letter for Richard just to connect with AMPAC. They're supporting Operation Tip the Planet as well, and we're just fleshing out actions that their members will participate in.
That will have a ripple effect for sure. Okay.
All
right. Yep. This is Ken. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. The first one was just, I was a little distortion when you were giving your presentation, when you were talking about what was going to happen in 9/11 per se. Is there any kind of a climactic event that's planned? Were you saying at the end of this campaign or not particularly?
We are very much in the formulative stages. This is it's been wonderful that we're getting the kind of support we're getting, but we're only a month old. So any ideas for either group or individual actions are welcome. We're just batting them around. So if you have any ideas about what you think,
at this point there's not anything in particular planned, but you're open to the idea. In other words, right?
Right. Other than delivering the petition, another activity we thought about is when Richard delivers a petition to Congress and copies of ESO to each member of Congress, that people around the globe, cities around the globe, would deliver it to their city hall, town hall, the copy of the petition as well as copies of the ESO.
When is that slated for?
Nothing is set in stone. I think he is planning on doing that right around September 11th.
Okay.
So whenever he does it, we would all do it.
Yeah. Okay. My other question has to do with the parameters on the contest, the slogan contest. I have one in mind. I just wanted to pass it by you. I think it's probably going to be more of a measure of the political disparity within the movement. But mine would be 9/11. The reason was treason. The solution is revolution. But probably that won't fly. Really.
I think we're going to try and kind of crack the door open a little bit.
Create
curiosity. And I think it's got to be sort of in alignment with the AE mission, which is really about sharing the evidence rather than the who or why, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to get on the stack and join the conversation here?
Yes, maybe Lenny.
Ned, anybody else?
Yeah. Craig.
Ned and then Craig. Okay, Ned, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first off, in response to comment about the Nation of Islam and the organization as whether or not you would list them publicly as an endorser, I would certainly hesitate not listing any organization that was willing to come on in the fact that it's an educational process, and if we can certainly bridge or create a bridge along these lines, it would certainly be beneficial for everyone concerned.
They will not be listed. I'm telling you that they won't be listed.
I think that's unfortunate. But anyway, the other has to do with the idea of publicity concerning campus newspapers. Is that something that would be endorsed and there would be assistance on? Because that could also reach a lot of individuals that would maybe not be looking for this information from multiple sources.
Yeah, I mean, it's primarily an outdoor and transit campaign, but I think that we would look at any method of advertising. And there's actually an AE project in the college outreach team around college newspapers.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that, but I didn't know whether this was separate from A&E or this be incorporated within the A&E platform itself.
Yeah, I think, you know, nothing is set in stone at this point. We're considering a lot of different ideas, and I think that's a good one.
Okay.
All right. Craig?
Yeah, hi. I have a two-parter, I guess. The first one, I'm really curious about how you were able to raise that much money that fast. Was it like a complete sort of A&E effort in terms of using all their resources, or how did it happen so fast?
Yeah, and I guess I just wanted to, I think it was Ned that was speaking. Nation of Islam probably won't be listed, but AMPAC probably will. So I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yeah. And in terms of the money, I think on day two after the idea was born, NYC CAN, the Remember Building 7 campaign, gave us $50,000 in matching funds. And the other $50,000 came from major donors in AE, and 1,500 of it is from the Fundly site, where we just did a kind of a mini launch of the Fundly site.
I see. Okay.
So we have no chip in on the AE site. We haven't sent out an action alert asking for money yet, even.
Wow. Okay.
I just want to say our goal right now is trying to fill the big pot so we have a lot of money to match cities around the world.
Right. The other question, one thing I wanted just to mention is I do want to get in touch with you because I'd like to write an article for my website about this whole event because I didn't realize it was happening. So I'll be in touch with you in the next couple of days, probably.
Okay.
But the other question I was wondering is, this is Craig. Yeah. And the other question I had is, I'm just wondering how you obviously you're approaching this in a way that to avoid kind of any of the internal disagreements that exist within the movement. You're keeping it sort of more in terms of more sort of the big picture, I guess, in terms of maybe a new investigation or looking at just encouraging people to look at the evidence. Is that the case, to sort of avoid getting into the details that people don't agree on?
I think that's right. I mean, this campaign is not aimed at choir. It's really aimed at bringing people who haven't even heard of Building 7 to awareness of this issue. We're trying to pique their interest and get them to go to the website to learn more.
Right. Great.
It's a campaign that's serving as smelling salts to kind of wake everybody up. We've got 36% of the American public. We want the other 64%, and we want, you know, the whole world to be awake to what's going on to prevent the next 9/11.
Great.
Thanks
very much.
Okay. Does anybody who has not answered the question yet or made a comment want to speak?
Paul does.
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I wanted a little bit more clarification on the AMPAC versus Nation of Islam. You said that the former is not going to be included, but the latter will be. First of all, is that correct? Nation of Islam will be included, but AMPAC will not be included. Is that right?
I think that's probably true. I wouldn't hold me to that, but I think that's...
Laura, I think you said it the other way around a minute ago. Are you sure you're clear on what he's asking? You said Nation of Islam was... Okay.
Oh, no. Nation of Islam probably will, you know, they'll support us, but we won't list them on our list of supporters, probably. But AMPAC, you probably will.
Okay, fine. Now, just let me ask...
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, so Nation of Islam, do they want to be listed or they don't want to be listed? I mean, is it your decision primarily or their decision primarily?
Yeah, they have not asked to be listed. They don't need that from us.
Paul, if I could jump in, if you're excuse me for just a moment here. Is there some sense here in which this is a consensus decision? I mean, that Nation of Islam and AE911 Truth have agreed mutually that they won't be listed, so there's nobody feeling like they're being excluded and they don't really feel the need to be listed,
yeah,
kind of thing? Or is
it's not that far along. You know, these are preliminary conversations. They've given us their support. They have not asked us to be, you know, publicized in any way. And I think they're so controversial that I think it would probably hurt us to list them. So they're not asking for that. And my guess is that we won't end up listing them. But because this is so early on, I couldn't tell you, definitely about any of it.
We may be more controversial than they are.
That could be. It could be.
Paul,
do
you have anything else?
Well, I mean, actually, that last remark is kind of follows up what I want to say. I mean, well, I'm not trying to say anything. I just want to, you know, make sure that we don't ourselves get into Islamophobia or something like that by how we act. You know, that's contrary to the whole project.
Right. I think it's difficult because, you know, how do you balance that? You know, would you put the union of, you know, reform Jewish congregations? I don't know. You know, they have kind of a checkered path. But I think, you know, we wouldn't be Islamophobic because we would be putting AMPAC probably on the list of supporters.
Personally, I'd favor just putting everyone who supports us as a supporter and those who don't, not myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Laura, is there a way, if people wanted to, that they could communicate on this question to AE911 Truth?
Sure.
I have a feeling that this is going to, it's the one issue that you've raised that I think probably won't feel like it's been resolved here, and people might want to communicate further about their feelings about it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly send me an email. Come on the team call on Thursday and express yourself.
Okay.
I would be a way to talk about it. If somebody sends me an email, I will certainly forward it to Richard and to our team for consideration. I'll share it with the team leader.
Okay. That sounds eminently fair. All right. Anybody besides Paul that hasn't spoken yet, still like to speak or ask a question or make a comment? Would anybody like a second shot?
I'd like a second shot.
Yeah.
Okay, Scarlett. And then I'd like to say something. Okay, Craig, and then myself. Who else? Scarlett, Craig, myself, anybody else? Okay, go
Laura,
ahead, Scarlett.
I'd like to say something at the end.
Yeah. Okay, Laura, so this is probably redundant, but would you mind clarifying for me who the sort of the core steering entity is for this? Is it in fact the Gambles, or I'm not clear on how this was initiated and kind of who the core players are.
Well, I'm team leader for the project.
Okay.
It's an AE911 Truth project,
okay.
And the AE911 Truth it's a coalition. We're leading the coalition. The Thrive Movement is a member of the coalition.
Okay.
They are clearly supporting us. Yeah.
Okay. So who's representing AE911 Truth, let's say, on Thursday's call?
I do.
You are the one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have.
Okay. Craig?
I think mine's maybe a bit more of a comment. Sort of jumping back to the Nation of Islam thing again for a second. My thought on that is that given the fact that Richard spoke at their annual convention, and I know that was a controversial decision within A&E, and a couple of board members resigned over it, I personally wrote it back then at the time that I thought it was a very courageous decision on Richard's part to address that group and not to be talked out of it. And so I guess I'm kind of wondering, it's not really a question because I'm sure that, we won't know this necessarily in terms of who was for it and who's against it. But I would just kind of say that I think it would be really unfortunate, given that Richard took the step of speaking to their group, it would be really unfortunate to deliberately leave them out because we're worried about what other people are going to think. So that's just a comment.
Okay. Do they know?
Okay. This is Ken. Craig just pretty much took the words out of my mouth. I was going to refer back to the same issue of Richard having had the courage to speak to the Nation of Islam conference, and that this caused the resignation of a couple of board members. So we all remember how much courage that took, and it would seem, in light of that, very, very important that the bridge that he took so much, spent so much political capital to build, not be in any way, compromised by newfound trepidation in the way of public controversy. That's all. It just seems like it goes against the grain of what he's already accomplished. And so
I think those are good points, and that the hypocrisy, it would seem to imply, is going to be exploited by our enemies. In other words,
exactly.
It's going to be a public record that we've done this. If we now accept
their
support but don't acknowledge it, we're going to be pilloried. So I think that
that
bridge has been crossed, and I would not recommend going backwards.
Yeah, and not to put too fine a point on this, but just as there was a political cost for Richard having made that commitment in the first place, there will also be a cost if he in any way compromises the relations of the 9/11 Truth Movement with the Nation of Islam, which he is largely responsible for having created in the first place. So just wanted to point that out, and hopefully you'll communicate that to Richard.
So you're not concerned about the anti-Semitic remarks that Farrakhan is making?
Not at all. Not in the slightest. No, I am not. If we waited for the people, I'll remind you that Cynthia McKinney said that when she took the courageous stand she did against the 9/11 so-called narrative and challenged it, the response, the resistance she got was from Zionist circles, okay? It wasn't from just, where you would expect it to come from. It was from Zionist circles. And those are the people that put her out of commission as a representative. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to recognize that we are going to be oftentimes feathered and tarred for taking positions that are controversial among Zionists, but I don't think that should ever stop us from moving forward.
mean,
the problem, the problem
were,
being.
I think his comments were just against Zionists, weren't they? Just against all Jews?
Oh,
I'm sorry, say that again, Laura.
I thought their statements were against Zionists, but also against all Jews, weren't they? Just
no,
kind of across
no.
the board.
If you follow Sarkhan closely, you'll see, he actually went. No, he's not against all Jews. He's not.
That's
a result of the tyranny feathering of him by the Zionists, but it's not true.
Okay, good.
No, but he
good
definitely has a critique of certain leaders, the ones who have tyranny and feathered him for positions that he's taken. And it's a lot of controversy there for sure.
9/11 truth is going to be pilloried by Zionists because the truth is Zionists were behind 9/11. I mean, that's the simple fact of the matter, whether you're talking about the neocons in the Department of Defense, the supporters of the Project for the New American Century, or Benjamin Netanyahu and his allies. I mean, the Mossad was deeply involved in 9/11. There's just no way around
it.
Right.
No, I understand.
This is Ned Delaney.
Ned, go ahead.
Yeah. This issue that involves anti-Semitism and this sort of thing is an argument that seems to come up and is used to as a trip to shut down any valid discussion and debate, open debate on any of these issues, particularly when it comes to 9/11 and issues involving influence within Congress. So I'm extremely hesitant to put restrictions on recognition of groups that are willing to take part in open discussion and debate of 9/11.
This is Jim Fetzer. I'm probably the only one here who's been on the Anti-Defamation League's hit list. They have published a couple of pieces attacking me, Gordon Duff, Kevin Barrett, Alan Sabrowski, for being anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists. But the fact is, even in my published work, I've drawn a distinction between being anti-Zionist and being anti-Semitic. I mean, criticism of the government of Israel, per se, is not anti-Semitism, which involves discounting or disvalue the views or the worth of an individual because of their ethnic origins or their religious position. We do none of that. One of the ironies of the ADL was they attacked me in one piece and actually quoted from an article of mine entitled "Is 9/11 Research Anti-Semitic?" in which I explain why it is not, as though that were evidence that I were anti-Semitic. I mean, it's a very treacherous territory, but we're not going to be able to escape the attempt to brand us as anti-Semitic. There's just no way around it.
This is Laura. Actually, I have to go because I only slotted. I've got Richard wanting me to come on the team leaders call, and I'm at an event.
Sure.
But I certainly understand what I'm hearing, and I will definitely relay all of what you're sharing with me to this team, to Richard, to the team leaders. Feel free to come on the Thursday call, the all-team call, and share those views. But I will certainly convey that information about your feelings about the Nation of Islam.
Please tell Richard that I said that I thought it was a very courageous and appropriate action that he should have spoken to the Nation of Islam, and I applaud him for that.
I will do that.
I think that's the consensus decision of this
yeah.
body, if I'm not mistaken, to the extent that we're a body, and it certainly is of my local 9/11 Truth movement group, that we took a consensus position on supporting Richard for having done that. So I just hope that he doesn't lose ground in the course of what transpires here. Laura, thank you so much for spending the amount of time you have with us.
Actually, Ken, I just wanted to say a couple of other things.
One question.
May I list, 9/11 Teleconference as a supporting organization for Operation Tip the Planet is one question. And then also I wanted to, any 9/11 groups that you're involved with, the folks on this call, I would love to be able to list those organizations as supporting Operation Tip the Planet and to be able to set up a team page for your group. To begin to start the work of this Operation Tip the Planet.
I didn't hear it.
The only problem with that, Laura, is Yeah, I know you didn't, Jim, because you're late on the call, but she's given a complete rundown. It's taken almost the whole of the call so far, explaining what's in the transpired. And we won't vote on this tonight. I mean, there's no objection, because we have to give notice to the people, you know, that there's an issue that we're being asked to endorse. So what we'll do is put it on the agenda for next month, and then go ahead at that time, and since you're asking for an endorsement, and see whether there's any objection to our endorsing. I don't sense there will be, but we have to do this in fairness, since there was no advance notice that we'd be asked to endorse it, okay?
I just want to review the bidding, but I expect scholars for 9/11 Truth would endorse it too.
There you go.
That would be great. You know, so again, anybody who wants to, you all have my contact information. Mm-hmm. Let me know about your groups that want to endorse this, and also I'm happy to set up team pages for any of your groups. And
okay.
Whoever said that about Scholars for 9/11 Truth, I would love to connect with them as well.
Jim Fetzer. Jim, you're here when she gave her contact info? It'll be in the minutes.
Yes, I didn't get it all, but it's easy to locate me to my email address right there on the 911scholars.org right there. You'll find it and all that.
All right, perfect. Thanks.
I'd be glad to make contact.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ken, for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all of the great questions and input.
Like to, we will put on the agenda for next month the question of formally endorsing your efforts for Operation Tip the Planet. If you'd like to join us again for that, you're welcome. You'll get the advanced agenda because you're on the list now. So you're welcome.
Wonderful.
Back whenever. Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. Thank
you
again for a really good explanation.
Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Talk to you later.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, Craig, you got it. That Jim's on the call, right? Is anybody else?
That's right.
Other Jim Fetzer is on the call?
I'm here.
Has anybody else other than Jim joined the call since we got started that we didn't have on the roll? Okay, I guess not. All right, so I guess we're ready for, oh, wait a minute. George Ripley's not here, is he? No, that's unfortunate. Well, I'm just going to report what he told me. I guess it was in the advance agenda, but I don't know that it would make sense to discuss it without him here. You know what? I'm going to take a short break and call George and see what the heck's going on, because I know he expected to be here for this. And I'm shocked that he's not. So let me get off the call, call George, and I'll be right back, okay?
Who was Richard that you were referring to?
Richard Gage?
Is that the last name? It's a very, you know, this transmission is kind of muffled. I don't know. Maybe it's my phone, but I lose about a third of what people are saying because I can't understand the word. She's saying tip the planet, T-I-P. He is in
Yes.
Tip.
Yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, yeah, I figured. Okay.
And Richard is, of course, Richard Gage, who's the head of A&E 911.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, you know, I've been doing my research and so forth, but some of the names escape me because I'm
sure.
I haven't been on this call line for more than a couple times anyway. So
sure.
Great. Okay. Wonderful. What was the anti-Semitic comment that she was concerned about that Farrakhan allegedly said or did say?
I don't think it was a comment that he specifically made. I think it was an interpretation on her part of the stance taken by Farrakhan. I may be incorrect on that, but that's my impression. I think it was something she was reading into an interpretation on her part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a search on Farrakhan, anti-Semitism. There's an anti-defamation league attack on him, but as I say,
well, yeah, that's nuts.
They attack quite a few people.
They attack everybody for, you know, breathing. So, God forbid. I mean, you know, but I do love. I have to tell you, Jim Fetzer, Veterans Today is just an incredibly powerful site. I mean, it is really, really good.
Oh, terrific, terrific, just terrific.
Totally
I'm so pleased to hear that.
I read it every day, and
that's
it's
wonderful.
Fabulous.
Wonderful.
Y'all are just, you know, really prolific researchers, and, you know, it's very impressive. Dean Henderson's work, everything.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
This is Ken. Yeah, this is Ken. I just tried to call George at home, but he's not answering, so I guess something came up for him. I'm going to suggest that we just postpone this until next month, because I don't think it would make sense to discuss him in George's absence, but I think it's pretty clear that they are trying to make some preliminary plans to have a conference in Washington, D.C. on the on or around the anniversary of 9/11. Now, George told me that there were two different agendas that they were, well, he called it one agenda of two parts, but I think it's two different agendas, but two different things that they were trying to approach, and I guess this was proposed by some people up there in New England somewhere that wanted to do this in Washington. But the one thing, of course, was about the Pentagon, so that it would be focused on the Pentagon, issues around the Pentagon, which has never had its own particular conference. But the other thing was, what's the other thing?
Who done it?
The other
who
thing
done
was...
It. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Who got it? Yeah, focusing on the who rather than the how. And I tried to convince him in a lengthy response that these were not two things that should go together in the same teleconference, but that it would make sense to, or the same conference, but it might make sense to have a two-part conference where one was treated and then the other. But if you try to mix them up, boy, it's just going to be hell on earth.
Let me just address that. The fact is that there could not have been an attack on the Pentagon without the complicity of the Department of Defense and the Secretary of Defense and the Vice President. We all know Norman Mineta's testimony. They knew a plane was approaching. They did nothing to guard against it. Cheney issued a stand-down order. The plane should not be shot down. I actually think they fit together fairly well because we even have, you know, no less an eminent military authority than Albert Stubblebine, who was in charge of all American photographic intelligence, denying that any plane hit the Pentagon. And, you know, later he actually concluded that 9/11 had been an inside job. So, you know, I think what's crucial about a conference like this is that representatives of groups that have in the past been viewed as in conflict with one another should be represented. I mean, I've done a huge amount on the Pentagon. I would be very glad to participate. I wouldn't want to be excluded on the grounds that I am not a supporter of thermite or of dues or whatever other ground. I mean, most people probably aren't going to be enthusiastic about due supporters anyway, but I'm not either anymore, but I have felt that it deserved a fair shake and a good hearing. I'm just saying I think it's very important if we want to show unanimity within the group that a diverse group of leaders in the 9/11 movement, even if in the past they have had differences between them, should be represented.
Okay, well, I'm sure you know that all fits together very well from your perspective, but there are other perspectives that would clash with what you're saying. Okay, they would have other theories about what happened to the Pentagon and or other theories about who was responsible for 9/11. And if all those people showed up to register their opinions, I just think it would be hard to keep the two issues separate. And the whole thing coming to a coherent resolution on either one would
well,
be...
Well, give me a sketch. I mean, is there anyone in the 9/11 community who believes a Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon? Or who denies
yeah,
that...
Yeah, there are. Yeah, sure there are. Frank Leahy does, or so does a couple of other notables believe that it did, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Who did you say believes? Who did you say believes?
Frank Leahy. Frank Leahy.
Leahy. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some others of the same ilk. There's some others of the same ilk that also go along with the official story on that. So,
The official story isn't even aerodynamically or physically possible. I mean, you can't have that big plane flying that fast or that out. Well, we've got to get serious about this. We're either going to be scientific about it or we're going to be, you know, just bullshitting. I'm not for bullshit. I've spent my whole life deconstructing bullshit.
This discussion was supposed to be just about preliminary questions and about giving input to George, who is trying to organize this conference from his end. So I think we kind of need to just postpone it until George can be here to filter it and to register it and to let people know what it is exactly that he's looking for by way of input. And it's unfortunate that he didn't make it tonight. With that said, is there any objection to postponing this discussion until next month when George can be here to join us? Hopefully.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. So we can just move into our normal discussion mode then, there being some time left in the hour here, or the hour and a half, and we can just discuss whatever, including this subject. Jim, if you'd like to go further with it, or anybody else, or any other subject, if there's anything else, because we're moving into open mode discussion now. So, who would like to speak?
In my usual subtle fashion, I've pretty well defined the parameters as I see it.
Yeah. I think we know where you're coming from, Jim. Anybody else like to speak on any topic here?
Craig, I would like to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do that, we should do announcements. Does anybody have any announcements? No announcements.
You know what?
Okay.
Here's something, just for Jim. I heard you talk about Stubblebine. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a pretty elderly guy. My question is he still an active participant? Is he someone that's a credible? You know, of course he's. I mean. By his history and his resume, I mean, he's certainly credible, but I mean, you know, where is he at, basically, in all of this at this point?
Well, the beauty of it is he's retired, so he's not beholden to the chain of command. I mean, you know.
I mean, would he be interested in this Tip the Planet thing, or, I mean, is he...
That's a very interesting question. There's an outside chance he just might be. I think that's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Interested in what did you say, Carla?
I'm sorry. I said Stubblebine. Would he be? You know, I'm just thinking. If this can get some traction and some forward momentum, you know, this idea of basically tapering the planet, you know, with the question, whatever that first slogan was that she read was. I think it was a phenomenal question. I mean, I can't remember exactly how it was phrased, but this idea that, you know, no matter where the pedestrian looks, there's going to be a question coming at them regarding 9/11. To me, it's pathetic that at this point, only 36% of the people have a question, and even just having a question, I mean, they really don't have a narrative, you know what I mean? It's just a question. I mean, that's pretty sad. But it's also indicative of the culture because the culture is so propagandized and so sheltered, you know, media-wise and so forth. But, you know, any kind of luminary, I mean, anybody from the VT website, Stubblevine, I mean, there's a lot of people that would come forward at this point and, you know, get out there, you know what I mean? Get some... some recognition and some air time, however that could be.
Well, I wonder if Jesse Ventura might be willing to lend his support.
Well, this guy that I was talking about, Mizuko, I mean, I'm going to really try to find him and, you know, to review some of his work. He's an Italian guy. And you know, the Italians are really big on 9/11 truth. I mean, they're
Yes. And Judge Impasimoto, who's so influential with the International Criminal Court, is all on our side, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, these guys, these are people that can be commandeered for, you know, for their input one way or another. I mean, I don't know how this is going to...
The question you mentioned you used the word narrative. That's a very important notion because most Americans have never heard a narrative that would make sense in 9/11, which is a reason why I like very much this film Operation Terror by Art Olivier, because he gives a narrative. Now, I don't think it's right in every detail, but it's really quite brilliant, and it was, you know, done inexpensively, but it's very successful. So I don't know. That might be something worthwhile sharing with different 9/11 groups to get their reaction and to see what it's like to have a narrative.
Now,
we've had him already on the call, and he and a lot of us have been promoting that film.
Yeah.
For that reason.
What's the film called again?
Operation Terror.
George Rips entered the call. George Ripley is on the call.
George, well, hey, you made it after all, huh?
I did.
Well, I guess it's not too late to go back into discussion on the topic you requested. We had postponed it because of your absence, and I guess we still have enough time where we can get some preliminary, and I think... Maybe we can give you a few minutes to brief us on the background for your question or your plan, and then different people, including Jim Fetzer, of course, have input for you about its formulation. Okay, but why don't you go ahead and give us the synopsis, and then we'll go from there as we have time, okay?
Sure.
Assuming there's no objections from anybody else on the call, because we did already agree to postpone it. Any objections?
Go for it.
Okay. All right. Go ahead,
Dirk. Okay. Well, we've decided to go the weekend following the what's now being called the Million American March Against Fear on September 11th, which was the Million Muslim March. And so we'll be starting ours. Actually, there's a question as to whether it would kick off Thursday night or Friday, or even there's a question as to whether we'll just do Saturday morning to Sunday afternoon, which I think is short shrift for the potential that we have. And the potential that we should really live up to, which is a full-blown examination of three major items: the Pentagon, the fall of the money, the financial components of 9/11, and then third, who done it. And that last question, who done it, would, I hope, be the major attraction for the whole thing, because to ask the question, who done it, brings up so many sensitive questions, but it does take the issue to the next level. And I think it's very appropriate that we are here offering an event in the belly of the beast, in the heart of the military intelligence community. So this is a direct challenge and an affront to name names and point fingers and name names here in D.C. It also provides a larger marketing component here. That we can outreach through Pilots for Truth and Military Officers for Truth into the military intelligence community here in marketing the event, which is key to, one, deciding what our program will, we need to figure out, we're struggling to figure out how to budget this event. Budget has everything to do with how large an audience we're going to appeal to or market to, and of course, how much we're going to charge for attendance, both of which are key issues, and we have some conflict within the group with regards to how long it should be, and what sort of venue would be appropriate. Everything from a more expensive venue at the Sheraton on top of the hill, practically between the two alleged flight paths and looking straight down into the Pentagon. So that would be the primary place. But the ballroom, which would hold sufficient numbers, which I would like to see between 250 to 200 to 300, perhaps, but is quite expensive. So although they're providing very affordable rooms at $89 a night, that's extremely good. The ballroom itself is quite expensive, $5,000 a day, and perhaps not including the evening. I'm not sure on the prices yet because the people looking at that thought that the $5,000 was out of our league. I think
George, let me interrupt you. Because we have so little time left, because you're coming out of the call so late, we really don't have time for a lot of logistical questions right now, okay?
All right.
Yeah, you said you were interested in input from people regarding the advisability of the conference, the combination of issues, and various parameters like that, right? That's the basic reason why you wanted to put it on the agenda?
That certainly is something to help with. I think the cost and any insights that I can
You want to have fundraising, funding issues, right? Funding issues as well. Then you would like input on, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. So with that, I think we have a sense of who put you up to this in the first place, George. What was the group in New England?
We've got the group up there, Frank Talopko and Cheryl Curtis, and various people from the Boston, Hartford, Western Massachusetts area.
Okay.
Small group.
Okay.
Reached out to us to ask for help.
So with that, then, we'll just open discussion on this topic. Who would like to go first?
Well, I'm willing to make a few comments.
Okay.
The speakers are going to make a huge difference here. And I wonder, have you had thoughts about whom you might want to invite to speak and address each of those three topics?
We are designing the structure of the conference before we go looking for people. It seems, are everywhere, and it's important mostly that they fit into the agenda rather than that we try and fit the agenda to all kinds of wonderful speakers. So we've hammered out those three particular things. And we haven't started really naming speakers yet, although there are a lot of names thrown into the ring already.
What are some of the names thrown into the ring on the Pentagon, for example?
Well, of course, there'd be the CIT group and the official theory, whatever the other group is, the airplane group, and there's Barbara Honegger, this is, of course, a major issue that is going to be highly charged. It is key that the key to that is that we will all participants in that panel will sign a unity agreement that although that we know what we don't know and we demand to know from the Pentagon and the FBI. Those things which they are withholding, and so that we come out of this, although we come out of this with known disagreements, we also come out with a firm unity statement as the key piece to that.
Well, I've had interactions with those three groups. Barbara spoke at the Madison conference. I organized and spoke also in Vancouver. CIT tends to be rather prickly. They can be very particular about who they're willing to appear with or not, so that's a potential problem to negotiate. As far as the people who believe that a plane hit the Pentagon, they're being extremely selective in their evidence, and they really can't build a rational case, but to have them represented, I suppose, is something you want to do. I personally was interviewed twice by the BBC. They came here to my home for 8 hours their first time for their first conspiracy files documentary. and then 4 hours for their second. And I spent a lot of time on the Pentagon. I'd be very keenly interested personally in participating on the Pentagon. And someone I would recommend very highly about who was responsible and why is Kevin Barrett. Kevin spoke not only at the Madison and in Vancouver, but he's extremely good on this subject and has a great deal of experience. And he's got a lot of PR savvy. So, I mean, I'll just throw those two names into your hat.
Thank you.
I can throw four names in. You want me to?
Sure.
We had a group of people who were proposing to write about the Pentagon for that conference in France, which fell apart. Craig McKee is one of those. He's on the call, I believe. Right, Craig? You're still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have you and me, and we have Sheldon Langford and Adam Said, who was going to be writing a joint paper, done a really nice abstract of what we were going to demonstrate. So you can put our name down there also as possibility.
Okay. Who's speaking?
Paul Zaremka.
Oh, Paul, hi.
And Paul, how would you define the position that the four of you represent?
Basically CID position, but doing it our own way.
I didn't quite understand. CID?
CID.
Oh, CID. Oh. Oh, you mean that another plane approached the building and then flew over it rather than hit it, but that the official account is indefensible?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Craig. Can I just make a comment? Go ahead, Chris. Yeah, go ahead. I agree with Paul there. I think the emphasis maybe, you know, should not be on the flyover aspect of it, although that's part of it. I think that's an essential element of it. But I think to me the focal point should be the fact that a plane crash was faked at the Pentagon, and the fact that there's not only is there evidence, is there the CIT evidence that indicates that the plane was not on the same path and therefore could not have hit the building, but also there's a whole bunch of other evidence, you know, that argues against the idea of a plane impact. That I think is just as important.
Let me ask, how long do you think the discussion of the Pentagon would take to be completely to cover it fairly? How many hours of discussion would that take?
Probably 3 hours. Probably be a good one to be in the afternoon, say from 2 to 5 or something like that. Then you have
what?
Multiple speakers and discussion.
This is Ken. I have to dissent with it. I think 3 hours would just barely scratch the surface of the
Pentagon.
Oh,
not enough. Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah.
Can I jump back in there? I had a couple more things I wanted to say. I totally agree with you. I think an entire weekend on the Pentagon would be more like it, as far as I'm concerned.
Minimum.
It struck me, George, when you gave the three topics that you mentioned, you know, the money and who did it. And I can't quite imagine those being separate topics. To me, that's all part of the same one. So I see the two topics that you listed, one being who did it and one being Pentagon. My personal preference would be to have an entire conference on the Pentagon and focus on the fact, because as Jim said, and I agree with him, there's nobody else that could have faked a plane crash at the Pentagon other than the military and the government. There's no way you can say Al-Qaeda faked a plane crash at the Pentagon. So if you can establish that, then all the other stuff can kind of, you know, I would like to see that in a separate conference, going into the who did it and where the money went and all that.
Right.
And I would one last thing I would want to strongly say is, it's the impression that a lot of people want to create that there's this equivalency between the people who believe a plane hit and the people who don't believe a plane hit. I would be very upset if it was an attempt on the part of organizers to kind of balance those two views as if they're equivalent when they're not. When the vast majority
That's right.
of people in the truth movement
do not believe a plane hit. It wouldn't be fair to sort of try to make
it's like assuming there's an equivalence between those who believe in Santa Claus and those who don't.
Well, exactly. This is Ken. Yeah. I'm sorry. Are you done, Craig?
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks.
Okay. Did you say, Craig, that you thought that those issues should be separated, which is to say the Pentagon from the question of the money and who did it?
I think if you're going to do look at all of 9/11, then that's one way to go. But I think a conference on the Pentagon only, and things that come out of that would be what I would prefer to see. Focus entirely on that, and the fact that you were focusing on that one thing, I think would make it clearer in the minds of people who would be hearing about it what the point of it was. Whereas if you get into the other stuff in the same conference, it can kind of all get too diverse and too,
Okay, thank you for clarifying that, Craig. That was my original response too, and it remains my feeling that we can get too muddled in the agenda and have too many mixed opinions coming from too many different directions and apples and oranges to prevent a coherent result for the conference. And that's one thing you want to make doggone sure when you invest time and money in a conference is that the end result is coherent and not a jumble. So my thought is that it would make sense if you want to cover all these issues to do the conference in at least two parts, one part focusing entirely on the evidence pertaining to the Pentagon, and then one part on the larger questions of the financial trail and who did it. The other thing I wanted to say is
You could have Saturday on the Pentagon and Sunday on the money trail and who did it. I mean, look, I've organized two conferences. You can't have a whole conference on the Pentagon without a massive amount of redundancy. I mean, people are going to just be tearing their hair out by the time it's over.
Well, okay, Jim, let me finish what I wanted to say here. The other thing has to do with the presentation of the other side with respect to those who believe that the plane did hit the Pentagon. I'm not in favor of trying to stack the deck in the sense of marginalizing them from the beginning. What I would prefer instead is to make a condition of their participation the willingness to engage in an open debate with the other side. Okay,
no.
And that way they can have equal showing along with the other side in this one particular segment of it where the two positions would go mano a mano, and they can present everything they want to present, and somebody fairly representing the opposing point of view or some group could present the other side, and people could let the chips fall where they may. More than the appearance of fairness without giving undue attention to that position. I think it would allow it to be clobbered publicly, personally, and I think that would be a good thing, but they couldn't complain that they were marginalized or anything like that if it's a free and open debate the normal constraints. This is my turn to speak, okay? I didn't interrupt you when you were speaking. Now you let me speak, okay? Without interruption. Thank you. So that's just my thought on how that particular question could be handled. But I do think that, this being a 9/11 Truth Conference, we want to fairly represent those people who have critical evidence other than those who support the official narrative, okay? So I do think that would be fair in some as well. But just to give those others a fair chance to have their position aired in debate, I think is important, because I think it actually works against them. Okay, that's all I want to say.
You let them go first. They're representing the official account. Let them go first, present the official account, and then you have the series of critics, and then at the end you have a group panel discussion and debate about who prevailed. But, those who are going to defend the official account are not going to concede anything, I guarantee you that.
Well, they won't need to if there's a fair debate and the audience gets to pick who wins,
I agree with that. I'm just saying use them as the representatives of the official account on each of the topics you're talking about. I mean, so we're going to have, 19 Islamic hijackers and Osama bin Laden?
I don't know if we'll find anybody in the 9/11 Truth Movement that wants to go that far, but... Well, who else would like to say something here? Who else would like to speak to this proposal? to George's idea. Anybody? Am I still on the call?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds like maybe that's all the input we have for right now. Nobody else wants to make any input to this idea, to George's question about how a conference might be organized and maybe about some of the funding issues that they have to cross and so forth?
I think you don't want nothing but the Pentagon. If you had Saturday on the Pentagon, Sunday on the money trail and who did it, that would turn out pretty well. But you cannot have the whole conference on nothing but the Pentagon. Believe me, it'll drive people up the wall. I've done this twice. I've had multiple speakers two different times, all aspects of 9/11. Believe me, I've been there, done that. I know what we're talking about here, how much time you need to cover and all that, okay? You don't want more than one day on the Pentagon. And you want to have discussion of the money trail and who was responsible.
Yeah.
This is Ned Delaney.
Yep.
It seems to me that one discussion or one topic that's really been not necessarily been avoided, but is an obvious topic of discussion is the money trail. The government contends that information is not available, or whatever information was available is no longer. They're not going to make public, but it seems to me that information is out there. It's just a matter of finding the source of the information and making it public.
Well, you know, it traced back to the CIA. I mean, this is no secret. It's just that Thomas Kean and what's his name were so naive that they couldn't believe the CIA had anything to do with it, which shows they were completely incompetent to be chairing the 9/11 Commission.
Well.
Okay, anybody else have a comment or suggestion or input?
Hamilton.
Well, I have one question on that.
Yeah, right, Carl.
Okay, so since you know, we've been told that the paper trail is missing or unavailable or whatever, how do you propose, I mean, where are you going to point the finger and who's going to bring it forward and how do you propose to do that? I mean, in other words, how are you going to dig that up without...
There are plenty of people who have been doing work on this. It's not as though there's suddenly no information or nobody's been studying it. You just have to have, you know, a proposal for what you want to cover, and you're going to find people who are in a position to cover it. It's in retrospect that they're trying to cover it up and suggest there isn't. This is securities and exchange, a stock market. Every cent is recorded. The idea that there are records.
They quote unquote didn't they lose that information? The shorts, you know, the shorts on the American Airlines stock and so forth, isn't that? The SEC said that information was no longer available, that it was lost.
Yeah, well, that's just lying. I mean, that's all that is.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. But what I'm saying is, there a freedom of information or something that you can
figure out who's been doing the most on this? We'll get them to come up and explain where the situation stands. You know, the fact that we haven't specifically been doing research on that specific topic doesn't mean there isn't a trail there to research. I'm certain there is.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I'm certain there is too. I'm just wondering how you're going to get it when, you know, you've been it's been just totally obfuscated from day one, as they it always is. I mean, that's
it's like Lee Oswald's W-2 forms.
Yeah.
You think the government can't get a hold of Oswald's W-2 forms? The fact is, he was being paid as an informant for the FBI. He had informant number 179, $200 a month, right up to the time of the assassination. That's why we don't have his W-2 form. I mean, how stupid would it be to think the federal government can't get the W-2 form on an American citizen?
Well, it's not a question of stupid. They don't, you know, they're just saying they don't have to because they're them. You know what I mean?
That's what the purpose of this conference is to challenge that whole mentality that they don't have to. And out of this conference I hope this conference is very confrontational. I hope this conference is very challenging to the Pentagon, and that out of it we get a demand directly to those people with regards to it, and expose along the way all of their the harm, that they're doing to the American people.
Right.
Georgia, it's unfortunate that you missed the first part of the call when Laura Cattleman gave us a very lengthy rundown of 89 Truth's plans for this operation. What's it called? Operation Tip the Planet. They're going to do a massive media blitz, including outdoor advertising and transit advertising and so forth, right up in the first couple of weeks before 9/11, all over the country. And so that could help build momentum for a conference like this, which would, of course, happen at the end of this same massive public relations effort. So it's worth considering that you can ride the coattails of that.
I'm familiar with Mike Figa and his work on that.
Okay.
How well is that going, Laura?
Laura's not on the call anymore. She had to leave after she made a presentation.
Oh, okay.
But she gave I would recommend George that you go back and listen to his first part of this conference because she gave all that updating information and it was very impressive. Okay.
George mentioned the Sheraton. Was there an alternative venue they were deliberating about?
Good question.
We're looking into other venues because, of course, we don't know what our budget's going to be. We're looking at more other free venues, for example, that aren't so prestigious and aren't so likely to draw people, draw attendance. The attendance is a big deal because it drives the budget. And, so it's one of those build it and they will come kind of events. But listen, I know how these things are, and of course I know the venue, the attendance at Toronto and Vancouver, and we're trying to figure out
what was the reason for finessing the 11th when there's going to be a million, Muslim march? I mean, would have a great interest in 9/11.
Yes, they do, and they're interested in sending speakers. Are we talking over each other?
Oh, okay.
Cool. Let's go for it. You're doing fine.
At any rate, that falls on a Wednesday. Yes, they're very interested in participating in our program, and I think that's a draw. It's a question of the 2 days, the Thursday, and when do we kick this thing off? We're trying to figure out how many days we can afford, or how many days people will pay for, because we've got to pay up front, and for these room reservations, we got to pay. You give the early bird special discount, and then hopefully we'll be like Toronto, and we'll sell out 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the event, but
right.
there's no telling, and I think we will, because I think with the whodunit component of the program, we're going to get people coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah,
and
it's Washington, for God's sake. It's a political town.
It's a tourist destination, much more so than Toronto, so I think that we'll get people from all over the country, as well as from the local military intelligence community and the Muslims and whoever. But we've got to sell. The actual finances of it. If we charge $200 for 200 people, that's $40,000. If we charge $250 for 250 people, that's $62,000. At $62,000, we can afford a nice venue, and I think people will be drawn if we get the ballroom at the Sheraton. I think that the prestige of that location will draw people in itself.
I don't know. I think it's a very small group that would pay that kind of money even for a 9/11 conference. Myself. I think you want to think in terms of larger numbers at a lower price,
opinion. Well, they sold 200 at 200 in Toronto and booked the whole thing for 2 weeks ahead, 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time. It was booked.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, the alternative is, George, that there might be more than 200 to 300 people that are interested, particularly if the costs were
were more minimal.
Well, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know, with the early bird special, we could bring the price down to 200. But you know, if we so 250 times 200, what's that? Anybody good at that? That'd be 50,000.
That'd be about 40,000.
That'd be 50,000. Yeah.
50,000. Yeah.
And so one thing I really don't want to do is get involved in spending this much energy to put an event together and then be bouncing along the bottom financially. That sucks.
Sure.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. So yep. No fun in that. And so, you know, I think that there's, obviously, it does, you know, 250 is a registration fee when they've got to also pay for housing
right.
And transportation on top of that. It does add up to a $500 vacation for them. That's not in everybody's back pocket.
And transportation is probably going to be a grand anyway. You got to fly from anywhere.
Sure. So it adds up fast for them. The question is, it seems to me if somebody were to host a conference saying whodunit, I'd want to be there.
Well, wait a minute. Is that new territory? I mean, I'm kind of a newbie at this. I mean, is that something that hasn't been discussed before?
Not in a public conference. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, in Vancouver we had about 3 hours devoted to who was responsible.
Okay. Well, then, pardon me. I missed. Yeah. Okay, so maybe this would be the highest profile venue that we could possibly present that whole thing. And if we gave it enough time, and as Craig pointed out, the financial and the whodunit thing are interwoven completely. So at any rate, if we give it enough time, we're going to draw some heavy fire because you know.
Not talk loud.
Craig, was that you speaking?
Yes. No, I was talking. He couldn't be in the room here.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've reached kind of the end of our a lot of time here, or probably gone past it. So I think we've gotten a good introductory discussion here on this question, and it's certainly something that bears continued assistance to George and anybody else that's trying to put this thing together. I recommend that we, listen out our minutes, just giving a brief outline of what George has talked about. Ask people to contact George if they can assist in any way or have any input for him.
Yeah.
And certainly we can bring it up again on our next conference call.
Put the contact data right in the notes.
Right. We'll do that for sure. Okay. Thanks, George, then, for showing up at better late than ever. And I guess that's it for this evening. We'll see you all the last Wednesday of April.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Yeah, I guess.